everybody, and welcome back to the Misfits of Cinema podcast. I'm your host, Danny Newton, joined as always by my co-host, Derek Rios. Say hi, Derek.
Hey, Danny.
We've got something really, really special to talk about today. This has got to be the best series I think I've seen, since Arcane.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Today we're going to talk about Andor. Series finale just wrapped up, 12 episode run, and man, this was amazing. This is quite good.
You know, it was okay. It didn't really have Star Wars. It wasn't really like Star Warsy enough for me.
Wasn't really Star Warsy enough?
Where's all the Jedis and Sith and like, you know, like there wasn't enough baby Princess Leia or baby Yoda.
You're right. The typical bad writing of Star Wars wasn't present in this.
It was fantastic.
It really was. It really expanded on a lot of like Star Wars lore. You felt like you were living in the Star Wars universe.
I know people complain because it doesn't have the same Star Wars feel.
It's not high fantasy,
but it feels real.
Yeah.
You get the nitty gritty where a normal person would be in this world, because as much as everyone wants to watch Star Wars and believe that, oh, I'd be a Jedi, be right there with them. It's like, no, you're probably just going to be some shitty worker on some shitty planet.
Right.
And just have a poor fucking life just like you do now.
Yes, exactly. You will be exactly like you are now. You will be just a laborer and forgotten about, right?
Yep.
But this is also the kind of series where it's like, you're going to be one of those people, but those are the people that can actually make a difference in society.
Yeah.
Right? When those people come together as one and rise up. Yeah. It's, man, this is just, God, it's good. It really breaks my heart that they're only thinking about doing one more season.
Yeah, so it's slated for 2 seasons, mm-hmm. which I'm fine as long as we get quality content like we did.
Yeah.
I'll be fine with that. Because in the end, we know how it ends, right?
Right.
We know Andor's story from Rogue One, the ending of the story.
Yeah. This is very much like a grown-up version of Rebels.
Yeah.
This is the spark of the Rebellion.
Yep.
Right?
And it shows you that the Rebellion and Rebellions in general, mm-hmm. it just starts with the small people.
Yeah.
Just fighting back, setting a tone that they're just not going to be oppressed their whole life. And then they cover it so many times in the series with just some of the best speeches on TV or any streaming service.
Yeah, they've really outdone themselves. This is, it's not really topping any like streaming charts or anything though. But I think as time goes on, this is probably going to be regarded, if not one of the best, if the best Star Wars writing that it's been in the last 2 decades easily. I love Mandalorian. Mandalorian is high fantasy, though, right?
Mandalorian touches, because it's more of a spaghetti western style.
Yeah.
That's what you love about it.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me more of like almost like a Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
And it's great. But this is just more emotional.
Yes.
And more real.
It is. The characters are just, they don't go out of their way to like jam exposition down you to tell you this is what a character is. They let you live with these characters. Whenever we're introduced to like Andor in the beginning, he's kind of like a sewer rat kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
He owes everybody money. Everybody wants to basically just kick his ass. He's cheated a lot of people, always on the run. But at his heart, he's a good person, right?
He is, but he's in a shitty situation,
mm-hmm.
and he's just dealing with the cards he got dealt.
Right.
And he's just trying to survive. He wants a better life.
He does.
He wants to take care of his surrogate mother.
Yeah, his family. I think that's it. Everybody on Ferrix, they all feel like a family.
Yep, it's like living in a small town.
Yeah. Man.
Like, everyone knows each other. Yeah, he might be indebted to a bunch of these people, but you see in the end, they all come together when his mother passes.
Yeah.
You see how it just brings them all together.
Yeah.
Because she was such a huge symbol to them all.
Yeah.
And just a huge figurehead for the community.
Mm-hmm.
This elder passing. It was a fantastic scene. The last episode, pretty much the whole series has been just solid.
Mm-hmm.
But the last episode, them marching through there, the funeral procession was just fantastic. And just great shooting. All the shots and the scenery looks just A+.
Yeah, man. Whenever dude was telling him essentially his mother's last words, God, man, it was close. It was real close. Like, I had to choke it down there for a second. I'm just like, oh my God, don't cry. Don't do this. Don't do this.
And then the speech got me.
Yeah.
There's her speech, I guess. I mean, she had to record it before she passed.
Mm-hmm.
She knew she was passing. She was been sick.
Yeah.
For a while. So she recorded, and then B2 plays the hologram of the recording.
And, yeah.
It just sparks.
Whoever programmed fucking emotional distress,
yeah,
and just depression into a robot, fuck them. This is a sadistic asshole.
It was
asshole.
Really strange that this robot had more emotions than a lot of the characters in the series. And
yes.
And it was sad. I really felt bad for the robot.
Yeah. I felt like...
For B2.
If I died, this is what my dog would feel like. Right?
Yeah.
Like, why is dad not home? Why is he not coming home? Where is he at? I'm going to wait right here in case he comes back. Whoever programmed this robot.
It is kind of cruel.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, even the character. Even the robot is fucking a great character. There's not a single person that has lines in this show.
There are zero wasted. There's zero wasted dialogue.
No one does a bad job. Everyone does so good.
Right. They don't waste your time. They know that if they're going to spend money putting it on screen, it needs to mean something. And they treat every scene like that. Yeah. Right. So there's so many characters and so much going on. Everything with Mon Mothma basically spans the entire series. But you really get a feel of how deep in the shit she is.
Yep.
Right. She is literally on the verge of being discovered by the Imperial bankers just any day now, to the point she feels the need to essentially sell her daughter to a gangster in order to move money around to make it not look like she's been essentially funding a rebellion.
Yeah.
Right.
And she also plays it off as it's her husband's gambling debt.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's pretty cold.
And she does it audibly because she knows that everybody is watching her, right? She makes sure that she pins it all on him, which her husband's kind of an asshole anyways. But he's kind of an idiot asshole.
Yeah.
He's not really a sinister asshole.
No.
Right?
It just shows you that that's what I really loved about the show.
Mm-hmm.
You have all these good, technically, air quote, characters.
Yeah.
These are the people that are fighting the forces of evil, right?
Right.
This is more of what we never really get from a lot of the Star Wars series.
Yeah.
With the Jedis, they're always supposed to be holy and pure. But these are the good characters, good in heart, that have to do evil deeds.
Yeah.
That are constantly having to just fight and claw, murder the way, you know, just scheme.
Because even your good people are still killing people. In Star Wars before this, you were removed from that, right? Yeah. In Star Wars before this, you got Luke being a good guy, and if he kills some stormtroopers, oh well, they're faceless villains. But in this, even...
But, I mean, George Lucas kept it. Like, originally, with Han Solo, he was a scoundrel.
Yeah.
He wasn't a hero. But he murdered Greedo.
Yeah.
In the original version, he shot first. I'm sorry. But it was
he had to.
Yeah. It proves that, I mean, over time, Disney wanted, oh, this is good. They have to be good. You can't be evil. You can't do bad acts. That's what good means. There's always a gray area. You can't just...
The Imperials and the Stormtroopers in this are not just faceless villains. Granted, they still have their Stormtroopers and stuff like that, that all are just basically clones of each other, right? Just kind of mindless drones. But the Stormtrooper Corps are supposed to kind of be just mindless drones in the sense that they are fanatics. Right. We don't get just stormtroopers in this. We get everyday soldiers in this, too. That's like.
Well, we follow a lot of the officers and the what they call it, the IBS is the
ISB.
ISB, yeah.
Yes.
The Bureau. The FBI.
Yes. The irritable bowel syndrome. Yes, IBS. Yeah. But, no, yeah, we do. We follow a lot of their stuff where they're trying to weed out potential rebellion, uprising, stuff like that. And the ISB officer we're following, she's just, God, she's a good character. She's developed. You understand her motivations. She does want to climb the Imperial ladder because kind of all Imperials are just kind of cutthroaty like that, right? Essentially, the main ISB operative we are following is Deidre.
Yes.
And kind of her climb through the ranks.
She's definitely a strong-willed female character.
Yeah.
That is written very well.
Yeah. She overcomes actually a lot of like the ire of her fellow ISB agents who are basically like, you know, you're not cut out for this shit. Just sit down, rookie. You don't know what you're doing. But she does know what she's doing. And the scenes in which she is sure of herself, she's done her homework. She knows she has other agents dead to rights and she fucking calls them out in meetings and stuff. God, that's so good. It's good enough. It makes you root for the bad guy of the series.
But you have those times where you're trying to root for it.
Yeah.
And vice versa, where you just hate her because she's so...
You hate her?
Such a bitch.
Yeah, you hate her because you know she's evil.
Yeah.
But you love her because she is smart and she's cunning. And she knows, I feel like she knows where she wants to be. She wants to be the fucking director of the ISB.
Yeah.
Right? And she would kill everybody here to get there. The Imperials aren't stupid.
No.
That's even, the best part.
Even in the last scene where the stormtroopers are battling.
Yeah.
They're not missing the shots either.
No.
They're murdering people.
Right. They're mowing people.
Yep.
Right? When we first start seeing Imperials in this series, there's kind of two versions of the Imperials, right? Kind of like the fat bureaucrats who have gotten comfortable in their position. And it's like Andor said, they have no idea that anybody would ever walk into their house and take their shit.
Who would ever have the ball?
Yeah, who would ever have the balls to do that, right? And those are the kind of Imperials you see at the beginning of the series where they're lax, but they're still not dumb.
No.
So many times we get Imperials written as buffoons to the point of why are they even a fucking threat? This show is why the Imperials are a serious threat. If the Imperials are looking into you, you better be fucking afraid because they are going to find you and capture you or kill you.
And that's what this company does.
Yeah.
We've never had anything talk about it or any spotlighting it. And
no.
It makes sense that you'd have to have this huge organization behind everything backing it.
Mm-hmm.
There, that one stormtrooper that walked up the bell tower staring at his feet, he was kind of dumb though.
Oh, he's never walked up that bell tower before and he didn't want to miss his step.
You're right.
I thought that dude was going to beat him death with hammers. I thought that was going to happen whenever he turned to him.
Drop kicked him off the bell tower.
Drop kicked him off the bell tower. Oh, it's so good. We get plenty of Star Wars stuff. There's plenty of blasters.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of ships.
We get the one little kind of battle sequence where Luthen.
Yeah, Luthen rope-a-dopes that cruiser.
It's Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. God. He's Jesus. So good in this.
Yes.
And the all the theories, right, where he's a fallen Jedi or whether he's a Sith, I don't know. I'm still not sure. That's how good it is.
But yeah.
It feels like he's some type of Force user.
If you told me that he was a fallen Jedi, mm-hmm. I'd believe it. If you told me he was a Sith, I'd believe it. If you told me he was just a guy, I'd believe that too.
Yeah.
It's so ambiguous. You don't know.
He does a lot of Sith-like shit, though.
Yes, he really does. But he also does a lot of Jedi-ish shit, too.
So, right? The catwalk speech.
Yeah.
I want to go back and rewatch that mm-hmm. because in that he's talking about all the things he's given up.
Yeah.
And a lot of it kind of coincides with the Jedi code. You got to give up love.
He gave up life, he gave up his
pretty
family.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah, everything.
For the Jedi Council, and then they died, and they're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes more sense that he's a fallen Jedi, right?
It's possible.
He's just doing what he has to force this rebellion to happen.
Yeah, because that's the only way it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard so many different things, like, this could be just another Sith or something like that that was snubbed by Sidious,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, and the rebellion is the only way for
him to get back,
in any kind of power, or at least
it's kind of like Darth
deal
Maul.
With his rival. Right.
It's kind of like Darth Maul in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. But like I said, this could just be just a guy, which would still be just fine, too. This show isn't about the literal use of the Force.
Yep.
Right? We're not floating objects here. But this show is also about the Force is always going to guide you in the direction that you were supposed to go, right?
That's the one thing that I feel like all the new shows and movies just take for granted.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things is all the little minor characters. Everyone's always like, may the Force be with you.
Yeah.
And in reality, most people don't know what that is. People have never seen a Force user. They don't never heard of the Force. The Jedi Council has been gone for 20 years now or some shit, pretty much, right? How far is this after?
This is, I think, 15 years. But people like this, even when the war was going on, all they would have saw would have been just Republic cruisers or something, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe they were occupied by a garrison of clone troopers during the CIS war.
Most likely, they never saw a Jedi.
Your odds of seeing a Jedi is tiny.
It's kind of like one of us running into a movie star.
Yeah.
Like where we live, we're not going to run into a fucking movie star.
Right. The best odds of us running into a movie star would be Channing Tatum. We're not going to run into Channing Tatum around
here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So most people, they would have no reason to ever be like, oh, may the Force be with you. That's not a common phrase.
No, not
at
all.
That's not something people would chant. Yeah, it guides us and has as part of everyone and everything,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know that.
Right.
And that's where the series doesn't fake reality. You don't have all these people going around like, oh, you know, blessings and I love, you know,
yeah,
you know, hopefully the Jedi will come and save us. Or, the Force. It's like, no, they're dealing with what they have to deal with and doing their own shit.
God, it's just a powerful series.
It's great. The whole prison sequence was
my goodness,
so good. The prison was pretty genius.
It really was.
The whole setup.
It's probably one of the best depictions of a prison I've ever seen mm-hmm. in cinema. So the first act is basically just introducing us to Andor and the start of his entire arc, right? The second act is a heist mission where Luthen has recruited Andor and sent him out to embed with his strike team, his infiltration team, to do a payroll robbery because rebellions cost money.
They're pretty much robbing Fort Knox.
Yeah.
And they got a small fraction of what was there.
Yeah. They probably got a decent stack.
Was it 40?
By the front door.
Yeah.
It was it was still 80 million credits.
Yeah, 80 million. And that
entire vault was easily 20 times larger.
Oh, yeah.
Than that.
Oh, at least. And they were very upset.
Yeah, they were pretty mad. I guess they didn't have their money insured.
Oh. Always insure it. They always spring for the insurance.
The heist sequence was good. The visuals were beautiful. Mm-hmm. Every time we get anything involving a ship in this, the visuals just tend to get beautiful. Like when he's evading that cruiser. That small little combat sequence was gorgeous.
Yeah, he just shreds the fucking grab beam.
Yeah, which that's also something we've never seen before, right? In our real world, we're familiar with the thought of like, oh, things in space go very fast and punch holes in other things.
Yep.
this is not a concept we see in Star Wars.
Well, they kind of did it in the last movie where she, where was it Last Jedi, where she slipstreams into the fucking Star Destroyer.
Yeah, but
God, was that Mon Martha?
No.
That was
it's a purple haired chick.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Haldo.
New Mon Martha.
Yeah, no. No.
All I want to say about the new trilogy is
it's bad.
Signed a petition to get them to take that out of canon. That'd be the best thing for it.
Yeah.
That could be the best thing to happen to Star Wars.
Probably.
And it had good characters, but it was just,
it didn't have anybody as smart as these guys writing it.
No. And this is so this is written by
Tony and Dan Gilroy.
A couple brothers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let them do some more stuff. I think the one of the real reasons this works so well is because they're not really Star Wars fans.
No.
And they wrote it from the outside of the Star Wars universe. And it just worked.
Yeah.
But they did the backstory. Like, they did research for it.
Well, the thing is they write things. This is all written practically, right?
Yeah.
This is all written, how would a tyrannical government respond to mm-hmm. this happening? And how would you cause a civil uprising, right? It's simple concepts, but they execute them so well. And that's something that no Star Wars writer has ever gotten right, ever, until now. So these guys have really made something special here. They really have.
There's so many little details that just, because one of the biggest things everyone discussed, like, you got, is Luthen a Sith? Or is he a Force user?
Yeah.
And then you have, what are they building in the prison?
Yeah.
What are they building?
Oh, that's what we're talking about, the prison.
Yeah.
So after the bank heist, essentially, Andor gets captured and sent to the prison complex. And this prison is very well thought out. The entire floor is electrified.
Yep.
So the guards can run a skeleton crew and they don't have to worry about an uprising, because if there's any kind of uprising, they'll electrify the floor and kill everybody in the room. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you escape from a prison like this? Andor has already said it. They are so fat, they don't feel like anybody can walk into their house and steal their shit. So the Empire is rich on the outside, but built like shit on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they end up exploiting the prison. Because it's just a veneer, right? It's all psychological. If you think everything you touch in here is going to kill you, you're not going to fucking touch anything, right? But if you dare to call their bluff, then you'll realize real quick, yeah, it's all bullshit. We can get away with a lot of stuff. Literally, the name of the one episode is Nobody's Listening. Mm-hmm. All the prisoners have convinced themselves they're being monitored constantly. But Andor gets it. They don't have to fucking monitor us. All they got to do is electrify the floor twice a day.
Yep.
Right? Why would they waste their time listening to us? Of course not.
They don't have manpower to,
right,
to cover all these comms. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
As long as they comply. And then if anyone steps out of line, you see all what happened. They murder them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's a psychological thing. Yeah. You don't have to murder many people for everybody else to get the hint.
Nope.
And you don't have to kill many people to maintain that bluff. But as we saw in the prison, once that bluff is broken, the shit is on. And they do not have the manpower to stop it.
I did enjoy that all the soldiers just hid in that room while they were storming out.
Yeah. Yeah, of course they did.
Yeah.
I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we've been torturing these people for countless years. Like,
I mean, it's just a job, right?
Yeah. It's just a job. But Andy Serkis, as their foreman, amazing.
Keno did such a good job, and he gave one of the best speeches.
He did.
Between him, Stellan Skarsgård, and Fiona Shaw, which was Andor's mother, Marva.
Mm-hmm.
I think those three speeches alone were just this really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Just so good.
This is by far the most value I've gotten out of my Disney Plus subscription this year.
Yeah, like, it saddens me that it isn't getting as much hype, because it should. Mm-hmm. This deserves all the hype.
Yeah, this was way better than Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
This was way better than Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi was a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
And then Book of Boba Fett had so much potential to be good.
And then half of it was The Mandalorian.
Two episodes was pretty much all 100% Mandalorian. And then turn around, they just did, they turned it into a children's show. They did too much childish shit.
Yeah.
That they didn't need to do.
With the Book of Boba Fett, literally, we spent so much time building up sand people that didn't matter.
Yeah.
Right?
They didn't use them. That should have been his army.
That should have been his army, not just this ragtag bunch of shit from the town.
Not these stupid
fucking bikers. It should have been the sand people riding in to save the day for him. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that would be his family. But we killed all those people because, fuck it.
Yeah. And because apparently they're all extinct now, I guess. I don't fucking know.
And then turn around, and like the best part of Book of Boba Fett was The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Your show's bad, right?
And then
Obi-Wan was just a disappointment all the way around. It was,
again, it had this childish bullshit with Princess Leia, which I'm fine with putting Princess Leia in there.
Well, just the writing was bad all the way around.
Yes,
they want you to give a shit about Reva, even though Reva is a heartless killer.
Yeah. She's a terrible character.
And right.
There's no reason to redeem her.
No, not at all.
I mean, she might have went in with good intentions, but she is 100% bad at this point.
Obi-Wan fights Darth Vader and beats him, but doesn't kill him? Why?
Because.
So that the movies can happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So bad. It shouldn't have been anything to do with him, right?
I mean, the best scenes in the show were with Vader, though.
Yeah, it really was, because Vader is a spectacle.
Yep. And that was it. That's pretty much all the show had to offer.
It really was. Obi-Wan should have been a master of his craft. And this could have been anything else besides that, right? Like, it didn't even have to involve Vader. That is the one thing Andor has showed us. Star Wars does not have to involve any of these high-level characters to be magnificent.
Yeah.
Right? They literally took the lowest of the low, the dregs of society, and made a show that was really good. So,
if you told me a month before Andor came out that
I would give a shit,
that you would care, and this would be one of your favorite Star Wars, if not the best Star Wars content you've seen, I would have laughed. I'm like, nah, who the fuck's Andor?
Yeah.
Like, that's that guy that died in the movie.
Right.
Okay, so what?
Yeah, exactly. If you would have told me this would be the best thing Disney Star Wars has had to offer ever, I would have said you're full of shit. Right? Man, God, was I wrong. I just can't gush over the show enough.
All I got to say is fucking pay those Gilroys. Bring them back.
Dude, yes.
Get them working on some other shit.
Yes. Anything that is like about the nitty gritty of the universe, these guys, they've nailed it. This could have just been an espionage thriller this entire season, and it still would have been fantastic, right?
If they just cut out all the Mon Martha stuff.
Yeah.
All the ISB stuff.
Yeah.
It still would have been great.
They could have lost good stuff, and this still would have been better than anything else.
Yeah.
Right?
Still would have been fantastic.
Gosh, dude. All these actors just killed it.
Even
all of them.
Cyril.
Yeah.
Which is Kyle Soller.
Yeah.
Even his character. His really weird obsession over catching Andor. Mm-hmm. And then you see he runs into Diedrich.
Yeah. Deidre. Diedrich.
Deidre.
Yeah.
And just saw this powerful woman, and he was just mesmerized by her.
Yeah.
Just instant love.
Well, the entire season we've been following his arc, mm-hmm. right? Because his arc opened the show.
Yep.
He was just so gung-ho wanting to catch somebody that murdered two officers. Even after the fact that his boss was just like, look, man, these guys were assholes, right? I'm surprised they hadn't died yet.
Yeah. These are people not doing their job.
Not doing their job. yep. shaking down the populace, just being dicks.
And they got caught at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Frequenting a brothel that we shouldn't have anyways.
Yep.
Perhaps they just died heroically. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Right? Let's just sweep this under the rug.
It's a lot easier.
Because we don't want the Empire to look at us. Even their own security forces don't want the Empire to be paying attention to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's great.
Yeah, because that's just unwanted attention. Anytime the Empire is focusing on what you're doing, it's not good for you.
No, not at all. This entire thing was like Luthen's whole mastermind plot of we're going to piss the Empire off and make them beat on the populace, and the populace is going to rise up in response.
Yeah, it'll revolt.
And that's what we are getting. If people haven't watched this because they feel tuned out after weaker series, after weaker movies, they're missing something special. Even if you don't care about Star Wars.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
You don't have to be a Star Wars fan.
This is just a good series on its own.
The only thing I could say is that I have heard that people complain that it's slow.
Yeah.
But it's just a build up for those great moments.
Yeah.
I can see it. I can feel it being slow at points, but it's worth it.
It is. If it wasn't written like this, then when those big moments happen, they wouldn't pay off the same.
No.
Right? They would just be flash and show and a spectacle for the sake of a spectacle. And that's what every other series is. This isn't. This builds you up to where it wants you to be as a viewer before it gives you that payoff. Because it's kind of the hard game that a series like this has to play. Because when it comes to Mon Mothma, we know ultimately nothing's going to happen to her, right? Because she's in movies.
Yeah. Same thing
when it comes with Andor, we know nothing is going to happen to him because he's in that movie and we know where he dies. So this show has to walk the line of we have to make you give a shit about all the characters around these characters.
Yeah.
Right? It's a masterclass. There's been a lot of stuff I've been forced to watch this year I will never watch again. This is a series, like I said, like Arcane, I can't wait to sit down and watch through this.
What do you mean never watch again? You watch Halo again?
Yeah, no, fuck that. I'm not watching that again. I'm checked out on Rings of Power. Honestly, I'm feeling the same way about a lot of Marvel series now, too. I still got to watch Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk, but I'm not excited to.
She-Hulk was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed She-Hulk. It felt more original.
But
even like smaller roles, like Forrest Whitaker was just great. Everything he did was fantastic too.
Yeah. Overall, 10 out of 10.
Yep.
Excellent. Fucking excellent series. They need to keep these guys around.
Yeah.
Right.
Recommended watching it for sure.
I think that's all I got, man.
Yeah. Without going, just talking about.
I could spew about this for fucking hours.
Yeah. Just talking about every little detail, just in general.
But yeah, go watch it. Watch it twice. It deserves it.
Yep. They're going to start airing it on TV. I have no idea what channel.
Yeah. Like I said, I did see that they were going to air. I think it's the first two episodes. I'm not sure what channel it's going to be on, but maybe it'll give it the traction it deserves.
Yeah. I'm going to try to just tune in to give it extra numbers. You know, everything helps, right?
Yep. But yeah, 10 out of 10. Highly recommend.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, hit us up on the Face Spaces, the Googlers.
MySpace.
MySpace.
Is that still a thing?
I got to be honest, I don't even have our podcast in my top 8 spaces.
Oh, that makes sense.
But Tom's still there.
Tom's always there. He's number one.
And he's always going to be our friend.
He's my only friend. It's just Tom alone on MySpace now.
He's just sitting in the corner. But yeah, check it out. Yeah. See you later, guys.
Bye.